Hey guys, it's the Lone Wolf here, back with another episode. It is August 31st right now, so technically it's okay to say it, but, yeah, it's, Hatsune Miku's B-Day! Tanjoubi omedetou, or I guess in the project, colorful stage game is Kinenbi omedetou, or happy anniversary. And the other one I said was happy birthday. So yeah, Hatsune Miku launched today, 15 years ago. Which is kind of weird, because I was like 3 when Hatsune Miku came out. Oh yeah, welcome back to another episode, the show where I talk about random stuff for no apparent reason, more specifically things that I like, what's been going on with my life, and why I'm tired all the time. but yeah, August 31st marks the day of Hatsune Miku's debut and became the world's famous diva, even though she doesn't act like one, maybe in some songs. But very wholesome, I think. I don't know. It really depends on the producer. Because if you don't know, okay, so Hatsune Miku is a software program and is in a, is, I guess, presented as an anime character. Very iconic, turquoise, twin tail. Pigtails, twin tails, if you will. You know, you heard of her. You've seen her around. She's in an anime called the Jasmine Jan Dropkick? The Dropkick anime, season 3. So suffice to say, Miku has been around for a very, very long time. Which I kind of find that weird because I didn't think she would be younger. Like, the program, sorry. The program itself, I didn't think it would be younger than me, but, yeah, I'm 18, and Miku is 15. So, if I address Miku in a different way, whether it's she, her pronouns, or an AI, I'm not wrong. how Miku is presented, you know, how she is. And everything like that with her character design and everything like that. But then I also remember she's a software made in Japan. Specifically the Pia Pira Pro software that Krypton decided to say yes to. It's very complicated, and I'm surprisingly, I don't know how I was able to have the knowledge within the past 8 months of actually diving into Vocaloid. Because even though I had encounters with it, I believe, story time, yay. The first time I ever, like, was really introduced to Vocaloid was at age 9. Yeah, I was 9 years old. I was in a thing where I would dance, and everything like that. And we put on, like, you know, a little show for, like, you know, families and stuff like that without me diving into deep to it, because some things I just want to keep, like, personal. But yeah, and one of the songs end up being Happy Synthesizer, which I believe was sung by Megumi. I hate last names in Japanese. I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. They're hard to pronounce. What the heck, Japan? happy synthesizer kimi no mune no no kumare toyoku no no melody kanateru yo. Okay, so Meguru ne Luka and Gumi was technically my, I guess, so-called intro to Vocaloid, although I never really addressed it as Vocaloid until, like, now. because, like, you know, I think, I don't know why, I had this, like, stuck in my head, and now I'm saying it out loud, and it just feels so weird. Anyway, sorry. Yeah, so it was, you know, I listened to it, and then a couple months later, it was another thing, but for that. So, we would, celebrate that, and one of them was doing a, mini dance and everything like that, and one of the songs was Shake It by Luca Dean, and then here we go. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So I had those like two songs stuck in my head, because I had to listen to them, and I actually liked listening to the songs and everything like that. However, I didn't get a bunch of PSTD. But not seriously. Like every time I would listen to Happy the Synthesizer, I would be like, my cringe is coming back to me. It's coming back to me. No, thank you. Because of the dance I did, it just felt really weird. And I just felt weird every time I would listen to that song. I mean, it's a good song, don't get me wrong. It's just a song that I personally cringe over. Anyway, and like I would like after a while, I would try to like discover songs on my own, but I guess I don't know how to, I guess I didn't know how to search on the internet at that time, and stuck with like a couple songs here and there, like, oh, this song's good, and then didn't bother to discover new ones. And this was also the time where I think for me, listening to pop was the so-called meta, if you will, when it comes to like what your music tastes were. I think, I live in America, so there's that to consider. And also grew up at a time where pop was like very prevalent. So like people would like, like gush about like Justin Bieber, Selena Gomez, Taylor Swift, Demi Lovato, Miley Cyrus, people like that. And I do respect them. These singers, don't get me wrong, but it kind of in a way shaped my music tastes, if you will. And I kind of in a way stopped listening to Vocaloid, with the Tatsunemiku, Kagami Rin, and then Kaito Miko, and Megarine, Luca. I don't know how I keep pronouncing Luca's last name wrong. It's just Luca. I'm just gonna call her Luca. I don't care. But yeah, so I kind of just, in a way, stopped. I didn't, because I was like young, right? I didn't want to discover, new music, or I guess I didn't know how to. And also, I was, 10. You really think I want to dive into lyrics at the age of 10? Not really, no. I mean, now I guess since I kind of grew, and like musically I've grown, I've learned to actually pay attention to the lyrics and know what I'm singing and everything like that. I figured in 2020, 2021-ish, and because of this game that I'm going to talk about in a bit, I, in a way, got myself into Vocaloid again, but like thoroughly this time, instead of like dipping my feet in and then come and then, leaving out of it, I guess. Even though I would like, search up like top 10 Vocaloid songs that are sad or like happy or whatever the case may be, right? I think now, because I think I'm old enough to understand Vocaloid lyrics and everything like that, because I found out that a lot of lyrics are really, really sad and depressing or crazy from that range, and I think now, because I was in like choir, because I did these musicals and having to pay attention to what I sing now, I'm like, okay, I want to read the lyrics. I want to know what this song is saying to me and things like that. And I've grown appreciative over the lyrics in the past, like, what, 8 months of me getting into Vocaloid and everything like that. You know, I think a lot of Vocaloid fans that I see on the internet are probably like much older than, like a bit older than me, you know? And, you know, I also like didn't really grow up listening to Vocaloid that much. You know, I lived in America. The main thing was pop. If you didn't listen to pop, you were weird, I guess. But at the same, I don't know what the new music meta is now, because I've been listening to primarily J-pop and everything like that. The One Piece Red album is actually pretty cool, by Idol, which I like very, very much. I don't know what the rap, I don't know what the music meta is now. You know, a lot of people like to go for rap, go for pop, talk about sex. You know, like. Which are not, which isn't bad, are like hooking up with someone. I feel like now music, pop music now, especially the lyrics, they're all the same. They're all about, in my opinion anyway, about love and sex and getting drunk and everything like that. At least in the mainstream pop media, or like finding love or whatever the case may be. While that is fine and that is relatable, and even though people love Sour by Olivia Rodrigo, you know, there are some songs out there that are relatable, and you know, it's okay to have like a midlife crisis or whatever age you're at. Maybe not the age of 10. You know, like I would listen to pop songs that, like for example, Sundial. I recently discovered them again after I listened to Your Text a lot, like a few years ago, and then scrolling on through Instagram, because that's my version of TikTok, I somehow discovered 24, and I'm like, this hits hard, and I'm 18. Oh no. And then I would listen to all their other songs, and they're actually pretty good. I love Sundial a lot. So yeah. Anyway, so yeah, I guess I'm just sick of like the mainstream, like you know, songs you would hear on the radio or on Kiss 102.7, Kiss FM, stuff like that. And I just like, you know what? I want realistic lyrics. I want lyrics that I want to read that are relatable to me, because then they're in a way they're comforting, right? They're comforting and they make me feel human, and in a way they make me feel like you don't have to like give in to this idea that another person is like singing. I mean, now a lot of songs are, you know, either relatable or about love or anything else for that matter, which is fine. You know, everyone's music tastes are different, especially mine. I'm calling out myself here, I think. But yeah, I guess I just like listening to like tragic lyrics ish, or like, you know, songs that obviously tell a story and everything like that. But I guess just like relatable songs that, you know, people need to go through. And I guess the fact that they kind of make the lyrics like a bit like bittersweet, I feel like that hits me. I think I like bittersweet lyrics, because you know, like, you know, they're like realistic and everything like that. But at the same time, like, you know, you have like hope in a sense, like maybe it is possible for me to, you know, be me and be happy and not be sad and tired all the time. So yeah, and also they, because it's in Japanese, I don't care. I'm like, oh, if the instrumental sounds nice and it's the lyrics and the melody flow good, then I don't care. I think with me listening to English music now, or pop music or anything that has English lyrics in it, I get annoyed. Because I understand what they're saying, right? And whether it's listening to whatever my sister puts in on her phone or the radio or any other pop song, I think the fact is because I know the lyrics and I know what they're saying and I can visualize them in my head, I get annoyed. I don't like listening to English lyrics. Now, I mean, some songs I like, you know. I'm picky with what lyrics are saying and everything like that, right? But you know, I'm like, I don't want to hear a song about sex. I don't want to hear a song about love. I don't want to hear a song about being heartbroken and everything like that, because I can visualize it and it's just pain. It's just pain knowing what I know, I understand it and everything like that. I think it's annoying because I have to visualize that in my head, and it makes me feel uncomfortable because I think the only time I listen to English lyrics is when I have to drive my sister around, and I'm calling her out here. I don't care. She's not home when I'm recording this episode anyway. But yeah, she would listen to songs with a bunch of rap with lyrics that I don't get. Or about sex again. I mean, I know this podcast is like, what, like PG-13 because I'm being like mature and everything, but I'm not using like profanity, so I don't know what the line is. Hey, if you made it this far, that means you're mature. You don't care. Yeah. I don't think people under 13 should be listening to my episodes to begin with, but I try to make it PG. I don't know. It's very late at night for me, and I obviously have no idea what I'm doing. So, sorry if I ruined your life somehow by talking about songs with lyrics that have sex in it, because it's true though. Like maybe it's just me, because you know my sister loves listening to rap that sometimes has sex or drugs in it, which it's fine. It just annoys the heck out of me. Because I read into those lyrics, I visualize what the lyrics are, I don't like what the lyrics are saying, it's annoying. So, yeah, I know some of my friends, like, listen to that, which is not a bad thing. They're not bad people. My sister isn't a bad person, for the most part anyway, but you know, sometimes the lyrics annoy me, okay? I'm weird. Apparently I'm weird, and I guess people just need to accept that. So yeah, or like I would like, you know, somehow find myself listening to Rex County Orange. I know my friends listen to that or that band a lot. I haven't. I don't know why I haven't. I'm thirsty. I don't know why. Oh yeah, because I've been listening to J-pop. I don't know. People are different. Music tastes are different. And not everyone's gonna like the same thing. Cool? Cool. We're good. Okay, let's talk about this gacha game that I've been unsurprisingly obsessed with over the past 8 months or so. 8 months! Oh boy. Well, it's gonna be 10 soon. No. Yeah, 8. Because... yeah, the English date is in freaking December, so. A colorful stage featuring Hatsune Miku, or if you're used to the Japanese version, Project Sakai featuring Hatsune Miku. It has Hatsune Miku, and that's how I was able to get into the gacha hole of this game. I love it. It's been my comfort game, and the only game I haven't deleted from my phone. Like, I've been with it since launch ish I did miss a week because I forgot, and I was dealing with a bunch of stuff at that time during, yeah. So I, even though it released on December 8th, I think I didn't start playing until a week after because I was A, depressed and sad, and I think I was, depressed, sad, having to deal with the fact that my parents were mad at me about dropping out of college, hating on myself for dropping out of college, not talking to people because I didn't want people to know I dropped out of college. I was just sad and miserable, and yeah. So that game, Colorful Stage, that you can download for free on the App Store and Google Play Store, wherever you get your apps at, by the way. I mean, originally I did download it for freaking Hatsune Miku. Go figure. And I like rhythm games. funny enough. I think it's my favorite game that I've personally played so far. No, I haven't played Hatsune Miku Project Diva Mega Mix Plus 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 Plus, whatever version they're coming out this year, whatever the game is. I haven't played that because it's on PC and I don't have one. I don't have enough space for one, and it's expensive, and I don't have a Nintendo Switch, and it's probably going to be expensive. So there we go. So yeah, I like the rhythm game. It's pretty easy to play. I've been playing it for like 8 months already, and I'd say I'm a pretty good player, but I'm not desperate enough to be like the number one, because that just means, wow, you have no life besides the game. Even though I kind of don't have any life right now, because I feel like all my friends have left me, even though I shouldn't be saying that, because it's my fault for not talking to people to begin with. Anyway, so while I was being sad and everything like that, and I still feel like that sometimes, although I think I'm better now because I'm on the podcast, so I shouldn't be depressed anymore. Yeah. So yeah, but this game kind of helped me out a lot. I loved playing rhythm games since I found out about Bandori, which is a different rhythm game, and the main reason why I played it, because it had anime songs in it, and I wanted to play them, and I found out they're all covers, and some of them don't, I didn't like that much, and everything like that, and some songs also featured Hatsune Miku, so that's why. Didn't think much of it. I think why I didn't like playing Bandori, which is a rhythm game that is created by kind of the same company as the Colorful Stage. I wasn't attached to the characters at all. I didn't care for the characters that much. They're kind of an inconvenience to me and everything. And also, I wasn't there during launch, so maybe that's why. But I just didn't care. And I think with Hatsune Miku, with having like familiar characters that you know, for the most part anyway. I didn't know Mako until this year, and I'm sorry to all the Vocaloid fans right there. I don't know any better, and I still don't. Yeah, it has like, familiar characters that you know, and then 20 new characters that for some weird reason I got heavily invested into. Every single character, and I will talk about more in a bit, because I'm recording this on a computer and I have 30 minute time limit, but I will dive deeper into the game later down the line. Anyway, but the short sum of it is it's they have characters that are extremely relatable, and I don't know why this game is rated G. It's not, it shouldn't be rated G. But it's meant for people of all ages, and that includes people under 18. Even though the content of the game should not be over for, it shouldn't be for people under 18, unless you like Wonderland Showtime, then it's sure. But even then, so sometimes they get even heavy with like topics that I'm just like, dude, this is sad. This game is sad. Most of the songs that I think Vocaloid have, they're all sad. Even though like it's like their lyrics, like, oh, like the melody is like pretty good and it's in a major key of some kind, and then you look in the lyrics and they're pretty sad. I'm like, dude, what the heck? Yeah, it's a trap. This game's a trap, and I love it because I didn't expect the game and their story to be interesting. Because, like, people go through hardships and everything like that, but, like, they hit hard. Or maybe because I downloaded this game at a sad point in my life and it just really hit me and everything like that. One of the stories, which I'll say it now, 25 at Night Court. Their story is the most depressing story out of the entire game. That's a fact. Even though they have like light breathers here and there, it's a fact. They're sad. They're sad. They got issues all around, man. Yeah, I know I'm stalling for time. See you after the anchor ad. My sister decided to tell me how her day at work was, which I'm like, wow. But I'm not gonna dive into any details about that. So, where was I? Oh yeah, Mizuki's gender. In the JP version, which is technically the original version, so we kind of have to stick with that one, right? Or not. I don't know. People can interpret to however they want. But Mizuki's gender in the JP version is a dang question mark. Three question marks. So, really open to interpretation. However, because the global server works a little bit differently, and I feel like most of the players are American. Just a guess. Because they don't want. Because Americans are just so unsure of everything. I'm roasting myself here. Because they rather be certain than to be uncertain. So they were like, oh, we're gonna put Mizuki as they and them. My goodness. The amount of stuff on Twitter. I mean, okay. It's not. Okay. In my opinion, if the characters say she and her in game, that is fine. If Kanade, Mafuyu, Ena, Miku, Luca, Meiko, Rin say she and her, that's okay. Because at this point, they don't know, even though there was an event that was this close to revealing whatever Mizuki's quote unquote big secret was, Mizuki decided not to tell them about the secret. The secret that has been heavily theorized on Dum Dum Twitter and Dum Dum YouTube, out of all places. People are like, oh, Mizuki's big secret is their sexuality slash gender identity. Probably gender identity, because sexuality is in a different boat, and we don't have the mental capacity to deal with politics right now. Also, before any like LGBTQ stands would be like, why can't just like Mizuki say about their like gender identity and LGBTQ and everything like that? You gotta understand. Japan worked differently than the dumb US. The US, because we were born. I'm gonna stop wearing my headphones now, so okay. If it sounds weird, I am sorry. But because the USA was solely based on the idea that we have free will, free say, free to do whatever we want, right? And I say the freaking USA because I think that's where most of the players are from. The good old-fashioned USA. Because we live in a country where we can say whatever we want freely and not be discriminated, otherwise you get canceled by Twitter. It's very easy to say whatever is on your mind, whatever the heck your gender identity is, whatever your sexuality is, that's okay. But in Japan, they work differently. In Japan, individualism does not exist. Japan is known for being a collective society, where Japan, if you are a cog in the machine, you're a cog in the machine. It's more of a group effort than being solo. So, if one person is different, they're kind of shunned. I say kind of, but like, you know, not really. I think Japan is a little bit more open than how they were used to be. I hope. But yeah, Japan is so slow and still has many, many ways to go. They ain't the US where it's not easy to talk about these things so freely, so easily, so open. It's hard, especially when you live
in a collective society where, yeah, if you're a guy, you're a guy. If you're a girl, you're a girl. And if you are different, you don't fit in. You are basically, you are nothing. It feels like you're nothing. I don't know. I think, then again, I'm not Japanese. I don't know how to say. I just know too much about it because I watch too many Japan videos on YouTube. But, yeah. So that's why. Because the fact that Japan is a freaking collective society, and if you are different, then you're basically an outcast, to put it bluntly. At least that's what people are saying on YouTube are, you know, and because the fact that being an individual does not exist in Japan, you gotta understand why Mizuki can't freely say about their gender identity and everything like that. And please, for the love of sanity, don't harass the game devs about, you know, plot points in the game, okay? If you're gonna harass, don't harass anyone on the global server, don't harass people, don't harass the game devs in the Japan server, don't do that. They have a plan, they just take forever, and I'm happy they take forever, because, you know, a lot of stuff is happening. You got seasonal things, you got, you know, character development stories that need to be written down, and everything like that. We recently, in the JP server, had a Mizuki backstory event on how they joined 25 Night Court, okay? These things take time, okay? 2 years is actually a short amount of time. You know, I'm happy that the game is still there and everything, and like, but don't expect everyone's stories to be completed immediately, okay? So don't harass the game devs about, you know, gender identity or about Mizuki's gender identity and plot and everything like that. Even Japan don't know how to, like, weave it in while being safe about it. Because, you know, people can take it the wrong way. People can interpret it as it being a bad thing. So, yeah. Just don't harass the people who work for the game. You know, they're doing their best. So, just don't do that. But, yeah. And, yeah, Mizuki's gender is just a thing that just keeps discussed on Twitter. And I'm just like, who cares? Who cares about their pronouns? I don't think Japan even knows what the, like, their pronoun game is so different here than here in America and Europe and basically anywhere that's not Asia. You know, I don't think they have a word for they and them. They don't, because they're so used to having a boy and a girl. They don't think about people being non-binary. They don't think about people being transgender. For the most part, anyway. I know there are LGBTQ people who live in Japan. Konnichiwa. And, you know, I do know that there are people who exist there. But as majority, Japan is a freaking collectivist society. Anyway, so, yeah. When Mizuki reveals to Nigo about their gender identity, then everyone in Twitter can be happy. But for now, we must be patient, and hopefully it works out well, and I hope that the writers of this game know how to do it safely and smoothly, okay? That's all I want. I want Mizuki's whatever big secret is to be safe and smooth, because I know there are going to be a bunch of people, especially younger generation, who might not be aware of it and everything like that. And technically, I'm surprised that this is a real thing. And then you remember there are some songs in Vocaloid that talk about gender identity. So, yeah. That was my bad rendition of Villain, and I'm not sorry for that. I'm not. I actually like that song. Thanks, Project Sekai. So, yeah. don't harass anyone about Mizuki's gender identity. When the time comes, and everyone in Twitter will celebrate it. Yeah, please. I mean, you know, that's not what all Mizuki is about, their gender identity. Mizuki is so much more than just their gender identity and everything. And while everyone is, like, happy about representation and LGBTQ, you know, it shouldn't be the thing that people primarily focus on is whether or not they're LGBTQ. I think that's what we should be aware of now. If they're an LGBTQ, that's cool. But don't make being LGBTQ the main thing on why people like you. I mean, to be fair, like, Mizuki is so much more than being, I guess, non-binary. I don't know what word I use for Mizuki anymore. I don't know. But, you know, like, they love fashion. They love clothes. They love making music videos. They skip school. Very relatable indeed. So, and, you know, but they're also a very, you know, kind person. They most of the time become the mediator of freaking Nico, because Enna and Mizuki, not Mizuki, Mafuyu just fight because of something that Mafuyu did, right? You know, I like Mizuki because they're cool. They're a cool person. I would love to hang out with them, even though they're probably not a real character and everything like that. You know, they're cool. And me thinking about their gender identity should be the last thing I should be really thinking about. As long as you are cool and you treat people with respect, that's all that matters. Gender identity, I don't care. Give me a heads up on it, but I don't care. We cool? We cool. And speaking of LGBTQ, can we talk about Vivid Bad Squad and they're just... Okay. I am so in the minority because I don't think Vivid Bad Squad should be shipped at all with each other, with same gender. No, nothing of that. And unfortunately, I'm not sure if the game developers or the writers are just like, oh, we're gonna make this as crazy as possible, because people interpret Vivid Bad Squad as a polyamorous relationship. Yeah, I'm throwing big words out there, where everyone seems to be dating each other. And unfortunately, the dialogue and the story do not help. They do not help. It does feel like Kohane, in basically in translations and everything like that, has a crush on freaking An, or An just in love with freaking Kohane. And then you got Akito, who really loves Toya, or Toya falling in love with Akito. And I'm like, can we, like, not? Please? Can we not? I don't know. I feel like relationships, like, romantic relationships, right? It should be, like, later down the line. Like, who has a crush? Okay, yeah, some people have crushes on someone that you meet for the very first time in forever, right? Or, like, Tinder or Bumble, whatever social media meeting website that you use, right? But I feel like friendship is the most important thing in this game. It is the main theme. One of the main themes in this game. Okay? And I feel like I hate the fact that the dialogue really suggests that, oh, like, people, I think people's interpretations of Vivid Bad Squad and their dialogue, right? That, oh, they're meant to be dating. And I'm like, no. I think it's cool that they're friends and everything like that. And maybe I don't want to see ship art on Twitter of them dating, or whatever the case may be, right? But people tend to ship Vivid Bad Squad with the same gender and everything like that, which I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's not. People can do whatever they want and everything like that. But for me, I'm just like, wouldn't it be cool if they were just friends? Just be friends. All you wanna do is just be friends. Time to say goodbye, just be friends. Da 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 da, just be friends, just be friends, just be friends. Do do do. Great song, by the way. Like, not everything has to be gay. Yeah, if it sounds like I'm homophobic, I'm sorry. I don't know. For me, Vivid Bad Squad, I feel like they need to grow together as people and be friends. And whether or not a relationship would happen, it will happen. But I think you need to like cement their friendship first and grow as people before you can be like, hey, I have a crush on this person. And also because I think Japan, right? And everything like that, I feel like you admire, I think it's more of admiration in Vivid Bad Squad. I think that was the route that they're going for. Like Toya admiring Akito for who he is as a person, and Kohane admiring An for being the coolest person in her opinion, and everything like that. I think that's it. And I think a lot of people confuse that or interpret, not confuse, interpret as admiration and having a crush on someone. And I'm like, I think it's okay to admire people and be embarrassed at the fact that, you know, you admire someone because I think that Japan don't know how to talk to people. I feel like, you know, I look at too many videos about Japan, right? And I feel like, oh, like people are shy and everything like that. I'm like, well, based on the amount of anime I watch, I would be totally unsurprised at the fact that people are just shy and don't know how to say their feelings. Because once again, Japan is a collective society and individuality don't exist. You know, so for someone to be completely different and everything and not be part of the Japan status quo is, you know, something that you should be like you could admire. And I wouldn't be surprised if people can be embarrassed. I think that's like human nature and everything like that. Yeah, but what do I know? I'm just a person who plays the game and spends too much time on it and everything like that because yeah, I just think I spend too much time on the game and then too much time on Twitter to be like, okay. And also, I feel like Vivid Bad Squad fans need to chill. But then they also had their Crash concert in the JP server, so. Yeah, at least their songs slap. Yeah, I mean, like, Vivid Bad Squad has some of the best songs in the game. I can say that much. But yeah, that's just my two cents on it. Respect my opinion now, and I will respect yours. I get it if you want to disagree with me with the whole Vivid Bad Squad LGBTQ love square shenanigans that the fandom kind of created, but I don't know. I'm not sure if I made my point across. I don't think I did. But yeah, it's okay to admire someone and to think that that person is cool and everything like that. And maybe you shouldn't ship Vivid Bad Squad yet. Okay, people ship them regardless, but like, you know, like I feel like if you force them into a romantic relationship, then the game devs will like hear like, oh, now we gotta make them dating, and I want it to be naturally and not having to feel like it's from the fandom fueling the fact that they want this ship to happen. That's all. I want the relationship to be genuine, or at least have genuine buildup. And feels like it's not forced or anything like that. If they're gonna make Vivid Bad Squad date each other, that's what I want. I just want genuine and healthy build up. I don't want forced build up that feels like you feel that it feels like the fans are pushing these two characters together. That's all. Is that too much to ask? Yeah. But it's whatever because the JP server is going to be 2 years old next month, and the EN server is gonna turn one in December, and Miku's birthday was today, so Tanjoubi omedeto Miku, happy birthday to Hatsune Miku, 15 years, wow, I loved your music now, and I think I'll love it forevermore until I somehow get sick of it, but I don't think I'm ever gonna get sick of it because Miku's voice is way too iconic to not be tired of. If you enjoyed this episode of the Lone Wolf Podcast, please make sure to subscribe. Give this a rating, review, whatever you want to do with it. I know you can do it on whatever podcast service platform that you are currently listening to, whether it's on Spotify, Apple, Amazon. Yeah, I'm on Amazon, Google, CastBox, Overcast, wherever you get your podcast at. Please subscribe to me. Please and thank you. If you want to know when episodes are up, you can follow me at the Lone Wolf Pod on both Twitter and Instagram. I try to post sometimes sometimes I just post on my Instagram story and be like, my thoughts on blank, or just something random, like me taking a photo of a freaking burger. That was actually pretty good, by the way. You know, but don't expect much out of me. I'm not a social media person, even though I just said I like to go on Twitter. I'm a stalker on the internet, and I think all of us are. So, yeah, if you want to follow me on social media, talk to me, whatever the case may be, please do. Yeah, at the Lone Wolf Pod on both Twitter and Instagram. I have a business email down below if you want to maybe hit me up with a sponsor or sponsor me or whatever the case may be and everything like that. It's down below at wolflow90@gmail.com. However, I don't check it often because sometimes I have no hope for the podcast, not gonna lie. I don't have any hope, but maybe if I get back to you, I get back to you. Just have patience with me and everything like that because I don't know what the heck I'm doing. Let's go. I have three ways you can financially support me, and I kind of need the money right now because I am still unemployed, still broke, and yeah, that's it. I have a merch store that you can go to with a link down below. It should say Lone Wolf Merch. You can buy shirts, hoodies. I know the fall is kind of coming up soon. Unless you live in California, then it's going to be a desert for Labor Day. But that's not fun. It's not. I don't know why we're... California is so weird. It's not great. I don't like living in California, but I have to get used to it. But, unless you live in California, where it's going to be a desert for who knows how long, buy my merch. Buy hoodies. I'm a big fan of the hoodies, because I love hoodies a lot. You can buy shirts. You can buy a long sleeve shirt. You can buy a water bottle. Whatever floats your fancy, please buy my merch. Greatly appreciate it. But if you don't want to, that's also okay. You can also donate me $1, $5, $10 a month using the Anchor donation link at the bottom of this episode's description and everything like that. Or you can just do a one-time thing. That is also okay. Or if you're broke, lazy, don't want to, which I get. That's what probably the majority of my listeners are doing anyway. They don't want to buy my merch or they don't want to donate me money, which is fine. I get that people don't want to. I get that people are not financially able to do so. I get that. So the free way to do it is just to listen to my episodes back to back. I do get money from Anchor by 1 cent a week, but I'm trying to make it 2 cents a week. I'm getting a cent per week, so harsh reality of a podcaster, but you know, you gotta do what you gotta do, and I'm still here, still trucking, still making audio, so yeah, please just listen to my episodes back to back, please share this podcast to anyone who might be interested in this sort of thing, or I don't know what the case may be, just, I don't know, make them listen to Twisted Wonderland over and over again and over again, because that's my favorite and famous episode that I have on the podcast. So for that episode, or the Daily Life of an Immortal King, or whatever episodes I have here, share my episodes, spread them around, spread my podcast empire that I don't have. Anyway, that's all for me. Yeah. I don't really have much going on with my life right now. But yeah, I will holler at you guys later, and please stay safe.